Welcome to Overtime on Inferno, your weekly round of all the big stories in CS2. Quicker than, well, not quicker than anything. We're very slow this week. It's a very relaxed week. As you can tell, I'm alone. That's because Elliot has moved into his new house, but has no internet until like April. So this week we have a special guest that I messaged like literally 20 minutes before we started. I was like ready to start. I found out Ellie didn't have internet. I shot a couple messages around and I had one person that responded to me really quickly. And I'm really excited because this person is kind of an exact expert in what we needed for on this podcast. We talk about the opening stage of the Blast, the PGL CS2 Major in Copenhagen, and We took a long look at the Americas teams that went through, and what does this mean for the Americas spots coming into Shanghai? What does that mean for the Asia spots coming into Shanghai? Really good conversation about that. But without further ado, Dust2's Scoopster. Welcome, Scoopster, to Overtime Inferno.
Hello, hello.
You haven't been on yet.
No,
but you're on today.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be here. Glad to be a part of this.
Yeah. So we brought you on because of two reasons. One, you actually know things involving North America.
True.
That is number one. And there's North America implications that we have to talk about today.
Yeah. And I don't want to hear Elliot talk about North America.
That's a reasonable take. Normally I take over the North America talking, but
God, I cannot stand hearing him talk about, oh, but see, actually Liquid are a bad team because X, Y, and Z, and they deserve not to get through because A, B, and C. And you know what? He may be right, but I'm not going to listen to it, which is why I'm here.
But not only that, As was revealed last week, Elliot owns a house now and doesn't have internet for like the next 2 weeks or some shit. So,
yeah, different tax bracket. We don't deal with his sort anymore.
Stupid England, man.
Yeah,
man. All right. So we did some pick'ems last week for the major. I know you did some pick'ems as well.
I have.
How brutally did yours go? Because I know that generically, people did not seem to be having a good time.
So as of right now, I am locked in. I have today's earlier match between the Mongols and who was it? Legacy, right?
Yeah.
Mongols winning. Give me my fifth. And with Soft Furia going on, one of those has to go through. That gives me my five correct, no more, no less.
I'm on the same boat. If Gamer Legion win, which for what it's worth, we're recording during the Gamer Legion Imperial game. If Gamer Legion win, I'm through on another one, but I think I'm same boat. let's start team by team. Sure. I want to hear just like so. Let's have a conversation about generic thoughts about each team. We'll start in the 3-0 bracket. We'll start off on a happy note, and then we'll bring it down a little bit more. Cloud9 looked good this event.
They did,
which I think surprised everyone.
I was surprised with just how clean it was. Like they were pretty close, fairly close games on Ecstatic and Legacy, but I mean, that's just like, it's BO1s, like it's going to happen. And Saw looked very good, though. And, you know, they got a clean 2-0 against them. I do want to hold my breath about Saw because the 2-0 to 2-3 pipeline is potentially in the cards, which would be very painful to all my Portuguese buddies.
We're going to have to wait on Saw for a minute because that comes into a whole bigger North America talk.
But on Cloud9, like, they did pretty good, especially like juggling the op around, like that's my biggest thing.
Yeah, it's when I saw this team originally, I said, "What the fuck? Where is the opper?" And then I was told Boomich was opping, and I went, "What the fuck? Why is Boomich the opper?" And they've just it feels to me, and I've said this before, but I'm gonna keep driving this point. It feels to me like Nitro opping on Liquid in 2019, where Nitro historically not an opper. But he kind of picked it up out of necessity for the team, and he was good enough on it. Like, he wasn't ever going to be a star opper. Like, if you make an opper tier list, he's probably, like, smack dab in the middle on average.
Yeah.
If maybe a little below average. Like, no one remembers a Nitro op play. Okay, maybe you
Excuse
remember
me,
one or
I
two.
Remember Dice, okay?
I was going to say, I do remember the overpass one. But generally, you don't remember, like, a Nitro, like, insane flick or something. He was a serviceable opera, and it feels like that's what Cloud9 is just kind of doing in a meta where we had seen for the past since 2019 dominated by Simple and Zywoo. And yeah, like it's been an Aupers meta up until we hit CS2.
On that note, like with the Liquid Grand Slam roster, Nitro was able to be serviceable because he had four incredible riflers around him.
Yeah.
And of course it's pretty true about Cloud9.
Depends on your thinking on a day-by-day basis, but
no, but like that it's very susceptible to if even just like one player does poorly, right? Like if Hobbit goes into his slump again, then you can easily see them just going out 1-3 in the elimination stage and dipping out, and then everyone going, where the hell is Monazi and all that?
Yeah.
And you can say the same for Axel. You can say the same for Perfecto. It's like, it's really like, when you don't have the fallback of like a strong AWPer, of a 1.2 rated AWPer, you're really relying on your riflers to make it work.
And we're not talking about like adding a device. It's just like someone who can hold an angle. The bar very low.
Yeah, there was a match I saw against with Saw when Hobbit was AWPing.
Which I think weird, it was
on,
but
yeah, I think it was on Ancient, and I think the casters were always harping on the fact that Hobbit wasn't missing an AWP shot. Like he was actually very nice on it.
I mean, there's a lot of players who are particularly good with the AWP. It's just they are better with, like, Twist's surprisingly good with the AWP.
Yeah.
But why would you ever put Twists on an AWP when you can put him on a rifle?
Hey, we do hear these stories of like how a bunch of the best AWPers never intended to be AWPers. They were just forced into it in the role, kind of like how Boomich or Hobbit are doing it now. That's how we got Device, right? Maybe in, 2028, we have Hobbit top 3 in the world by service of his 1.4 rated AWPing.
Let's talk about the other 3-0 team, which is Heroic, which I think if you were doing your pick-ems and you said, hey, what are the two teams that are most likely? I think generically people were Cloud9 Heroic, maybe a little bit of variation, maybe like one of
Eternal Fire, like, Fire, I think, was in that same tier, but otherwise. But
it felt like those three teams felt pretty locked for at the very least getting through, if not 3-0-ing. Mm-hmm. And I feel
I'm glad they all did.
And it didn't feel like a surprise when I saw Heroic Cloud9 as our 3-0s.
Yeah, for sure.
I think Heroic had a pretty hard run through as well.
LinVision, Imperio, and Eternal Fire, I saw,
LinVision,
not the easiest you could have, for sure.
Yeah, LinVision is probably one of the easier ones in general, but like Eternal Fire and Imperial, we both watched Imperial at the NARMR. Imperial is still in contention for moving on to the next stage.
Yeah, map 3. Like, they just got to map 3.
Imperial isn't a bad team. So
surprisingly enough, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, Henny has been on one of this event. Team lives or dies by Henny.
Rolling back the years.
Yeah. But I think Heroic getting through, I think, is not only do I think it's important because I think this Heroic roster shows something interesting, which is you can rebuild your entire roster 3 months before the event with pieces that you know work better than the sum of their parts.
Liquid, sorry.
Because we saw Heroic, we've seen teams do this before, right, where they build a roster that's better than some of their parts. The old Heroic roster was that, right, with Cadian and Shush and Tessus, and that roster was better than the sum of its parts. It always had been. And I feel like Heroic kind of just did it again, but made it international-ish.
Yeah, and I think who you have to credit that with is, I mean, on one hand, Saw, because he's amazing. But
as I say, Ents is the prototypical version of rebuild a team in 20 minutes.
Yeah, but I'm putting so much of the credits to Kix in here, because this was a monumental effort he was tasked with, and he kind of just like rose up to the occasion. I mean, this team has been firing on all cylinders in a really quick turnaround. Kixen has done an incredible job of getting all these players on the same page who are part of different systems and all that. Nerd's still performing very well despite, being in a completely different scenario. Like, I think that's really solid.
I mean, at the end of the day, Kixen does have the ability to fall back on the fact that his three riflers are Nerts, Tesses, and Shush, which is disgusting in its own merit, but...
Yeah, and unlike anyone else, he has another half-rifler to play with.
Yeah. All right, 3-1 teams.
Yeah.
I think this is where we start to get a little bit more fun in the pool.
For sure, because these
Eternal
trios
Fire,
were expected.
Yeah. Eternal Fire, we talked about, expected to go 3-0-3-1. There can't be three teams 3-0, so one of them had to kind of drop down here. And Eternal Fire felt like they played the best that they could up until the one match that they didn't, that they lost. Like, it felt like that match against Heroic, they kind of floundered a bit, especially
in
map 2.
It was overtime on map 1, which I think, you know, they could have went to map 3, could have been anyone's way, and depending on how that went, they could have been a 3-0 team.
Yeah, but once they kind of got past that point, they were hitting, man. It felt like they knew what was going on. They felt really good about it,
which I'm so fucking happy that Fire finally have some success.
We have been singing the praises of the Wakadia Xantaras duo.
All they needed is a third amazing rifler, or not rifler, but player in Wakadia, and actually they can hit shots now.
Yeah, and Woxic looks like he's playing on Mouse Sports again. Major looks like the Space Soldiers version of Major. Like, this team looks like it remembers how to play Counter-Strike, which at many times, and like, this isn't a mean thing, but at many times it was, this team is Xantaras plus four random dudes he picked up.
Yeah, that's what, like, it felt like for the first year and a half of Eternal Fire.
But now it feels like they have something and they know what they're doing.
And hopefully, right, none of the five players, well, Xantaras was never on the chopping block, but none of the players were ever thinking, oh, if I perform poorly, then they're just going to cut me, bring back one of the players that they cut 4 months ago, and it's going to be another cycle of this shit.
Where's Emor now? The only thing that they could do better for me is bring back the blue logo.
Yeah,
blue logo is better. It's just a personal thing. I think this gold logo is just a little bland.
In isolation, I don't have a problem with the gold logo. But
I'm looking at the teams here, and they are right next to the Mongols and Astatic and Lin Vision here, and it's too much gold.
Yeah, Ecstatic, I think that logo just doesn't give me any emotion whatsoever.
But let's talk about Astatic. They were the team that went through 3-1 that I think was everyone's surprise
with,
right? Like, Astatic was a surprise to get through the RMR to begin with. Right. No one expected the Danish team that was realistically at best the third best Danish team best, right? Behind Asaros, behind Heroic. And I think that there's people that would argue that there are other Danish teams, like Prezi would have been above them as well.
Yeah, people could argue that.
But this team kind of came out, they feel a lot like Gamer Legion felt in the last major cycle, where they're this tier 2 team who doesn't go to big events, but they've grinded the absolute living shit out of tier 2 in Europe and kind of found their one in and got through that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't had a chance to see too many of their matches because NA West Coast time zone makes watching any European Counter-Strike a living hell. But from what I did see, they had like really strong, like impactful frags from entries and such, like a lot of good 5v4s. I think you put that a lot on Nodios and Queenix. I think I saw in the kill feed quite a bit. They were nice. I have such a hard time forming an opinion of them because they're just my 0-3 pick for the elimination stage. No offense to Danish people.
No.
I don't know how you got here, honestly.
They weren't my 0-3 pick, but like there was definite thoughts about them being like a 1-3 pick. I think when the way I've always done pick'ems is I fill out the entire bracket and figure out based on that way. And I know I'm going to be wrong somewhere along the line because it just doesn't work that way. But
it's like March Madness brackets.
Yeah. Yeah. But like 1-3 is where I got Astatic. Mm-hmm. Maybe 2-3 at best. I didn't have them 3-1. Right, like, and they didn't have an easy route through, right? Like, I think this is the continued thing. There was a lot of good teams that were here. It didn't feel like any were pushovers. And the teams that felt like they were pushovers were better than expected.
Yeah.
Right. I think that you, if you started and said Ecstatic will be a pushover, or Legacy will be a pushover,
or Legacy, like any of the four Brazilian teams, really.
Yeah. Like, and like we have
all here on the last day, right?
Yeah. All four Brazilian teams are 2-2 right now, battling it out. Now, yeah. Legacy obviously is now 2-3, but they're right into the bitter ends. They weren't the best teams here, but they're sure as hell not haven't been the worst teams.
No. And the teams that kind of did get pushed over were not the ones you were expecting, with like with who was like Apex and Ents. We'll get to them, obviously, but
let's talk about the last 3-1 team.
Oh yeah, sure, let's do that,
because that's Pain Gaming. And I'm a betting man. I do some betting, not on esports, but just generically. And if I was betting on Pain Gaming, I would be ecstatic right now. But who would have thought Pain Gaming makes it through? Right?
You just have to sing the praises of Big Uzera.
He's the only one.
He's
and I don't mean that in a bad way.
No, I mean, he's just undeniably the reason this team has succeeded this year. He's the reason it succeeded last year. Well, not necessarily that, but he's the only reason they succeeded both years, is what I mean.
Yeah.
He's just undeniably the player that's making Pain relevant in any conversation.
Well, I think that's what I was going to kind of bring up, is it feels like he is Pain, right? It feels wrong to say, oh, look, it's Pain. They're like, without Big Uzera. That's just it. He's been on the team for like, what, 5 years? He joined in 2019. He's been on the team forever in esports terms, mm-hmm. and it just feels like he's the guy, and he's kind of living up to the fragging potential that he's always kind of had, and like the ability to get into a site, take a site, and it feels like he's relying a lot less on his teammates now in a good way, right? He's calling a little more self-centered, and this is like the thing I love about it is he knows he's the best player on the team, and it's not a slight to anyone else, but he knows he needs to put himself in positions to make sure they win rounds, and he's doing it, and they're winning rounds.
It's like when I was at the America's RMR last year for the Paris RMR, we were all there singing the praises of the Pain Fragging trio, Big Uzera, Skulls, and Zevi. And As a trio, those three were incredible. They were just active all around the map, and they were winning rounds all by themselves. And you know, they got to Paris, and good for them. Now, you don't have Zevi. He's God knows where. I think Fluxo.
I honestly couldn't tell you, man. There's like 700 Brazilian teams, and I maybe know three of them.
And then there's Skulls, who got eliminated at the RMR, and now you have Big Uzera.
The
last bastion of that fragging trio, and four others who now are in the elimination stage. I mean, it's impossible to overstate just how good of a player in IGL he is.
I'm going to ask the question here, which is, when do we think Big Uzera gets poached by a higher, like a more tier one team?
Yeah,
because
so.
I know the kind of thought process for a little while has been like, hey, Big Uzera should have gone to Furia. And now we're like really seeing like, holy shit, look at this guy. He's he's absolutely fraying. Like they've qualified already 3-1. Furia have to go play against Saw, which is not an easy game to even get through along that whole thing. And we had seen that Art before the Fallen Cello move, pre that like, Art wasn't cutting it anymore as an IGL. It's why they brought Fallen in. And where was the decision that the Furia starts bringing in quote unquote newer Brazilian talent than this same like old guard that we keep recycling?
Yeah, I wish I knew the answer to that. Furia make a ton of moves that I don't really understand.
So
if I say tomorrow, then they'll probably be never. And if I say never, it'll probably be tomorrow. But He's more than proved himself. That much is obvious. The question, the onus is on the Furia management at this point, and
that's not to say just Furia for what it's worth. There's a lot of teams out there that could use an IGL, right? In my head, you know, it'd be a great fit. M80.
Oh my god! I actually hadn't even thought about that before, but that is just
like that's a really good fit in my head. Oh
man, because. I did an article a while back on
Manx M80s.
Not necessarily on M80s like entire system and how their players play out. And Manx is a pretty active player when in that system before obviously Def had to come in.
Yeah.
And Big Uzera himself is also a pretty active player. That's what allows him to get so much impact in the rounds in the games that Payne play. If you put Big Uzera and if you know, imagine Big Uzera and Swish entering bomb sites, man, and then you got Wreck on the
and
back.
And Malb's behind him?
And Malb's, my god. Man, okay.
That's the America's team we deserve.
Yeah. But knowing Brazilian buyouts, you know. The buyout for Big Uzera is probably going to be 1.5 million with 200% of sticker sales.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that'll ever happen.
I'm going to flip. We're going to flip down to the 0-3 teams now.
Okay.
And we'll make our way up because there's still games going on in that 2-2 bracket. We have one of them done, but not all three of them. So we'll talk about the last couple there. Really disappointing events for the 2-0-3 teams that were not Pain and Legacy, which were my picks and seemed to be a lot of other people's picks. Koi. Koi's this weird team, right? Because they remade their team from the fully Spanish team to this team that said, hey, we need to be a little bit better across the board. We're going to add some Portuguese players. Stadoto finally qualifies to majors. A great story.
Good for him, yeah.
And then it felt like it just fell apart. Mm-hmm. Right. They got three hardish teams, right? Saw and Furia, but.
Yeah, definitely one of the harder routes here.
But every route is hard.
Of course. That's true. Yeah. Nothing comes easy.
And they got beaten really bad by Saw. And that's the big problem to me with the Koi team, right? Is that they played against Saw, which is. It has to be a team they scrim fairly often. I mean, they're all right there. Half the players that are on Koi were on Saw before, right? Like they all know. You lost 13-4 to this team. Like,
yeah, that's got to sting, huh?
That's a bad opener, man. Like, I understand Saw is on this like great hot streak right now. I'm all here for it. Like, please, let's give me more. But that's. If you want to get through at the major, man, like you can't lose 13-4 in your opener to a team that's roughly that should be roughly the same like level as you.
Yeah. The thing is, the only match that I was able to watch was the Fury game. And man, they looked bad.
They looked broken. They looked like they just didn't know what was going on anymore. It looked like the second that they went 0-2, they went, we're not getting through anymore. I saw a stat the other day that's like 15 teams in the last, like, I think it was since 2017, have made it through to the next stage after going 0-2.
Damn, that's more than I thought.
Right? It's a large amount of teams. I'll pull up the exact thing, but I'm going to keep talking during it. It's a lot, right? So why give up at that point? If so many teams make this run through.
Including Cloud9. Boston Major 2018.
Yep. I mean, that was one of the ones, and they won the thing. But, like, even if you go to 0-2, and if you go to that Elimination 0-2 match, and there's four of those every single major cycle or something like that, 15 teams making it through is not the worst odds. That says that basically one every major is going to, and why aren't we trying to push it through there?
Fuck, Furia are about to.
Yeah, I mean, Furia are... They're about to play Saw to do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Mongols did it.
That's true.
Already, right? Like, Mongols... Yeah. So let's go look at the other team here, the other 0-3 team, which is Omcal, which... God, I mean, I don't know what to think about Omcal because this team lives or dies by the old Entropic core.
Yeah. People call it the X1 Wind Core, but no, we know it as the old Entropic Core.
Yeah, it's the old Entropic Core. I will have no statements on this matter. But like, it's the Entropic Core, the Windstrike Core, whatever you want it to be, right? Yeah. Because like the three players are like Forrester, Nickelback, and
Crad, is it?
Crad, yeah, have been playing together for a while. They've jumped between teams, but they've like kind of always made their way back. Mm-hmm. This team had performed well at majors. We remember Entropic existing.
Yeah.
And it just, this team felt really flat. And they had one of the easier runs.
Yeah. Can I be honest, though? I want to say thank you, Omcall, for saving my pick-ems. I picked them 0-3 out of spite.
Let's go.
Because
of the NIP game? Because the fucking
NIP game.
I swear to God.
I want this team to play as minimum games as possible. I want them to leave the major. I put them 0-3. Thank you.
So here's the thing. Not only did you do that, that game happened while Elliot and I were recording, and Elliot had the game up on his other monitor.
Oh, no.
And every couple of minutes, he'd give an update of, they're in the fourth overtime, and neither team knows how to play a T-side. Oh, it was brutal to listen to, man. But, I mean, all's fair there. I'm called, like, not being able to get through.
They kept playing Overpass despite not knowing how to play it.
Yeah.
Your choice.
I mean, they played Overpass against an NIP, too. Like, we saw ahead of time.
And unfortunately, they won it.
But we saw ahead of time they didn't know how to play Overpass. Because if you watch that game at all, no matter if they won or lost, they don't know how to play a T-side on Overpass.
Yeah, they do not.
There's no T side. There's no attacking. They're defense side of D. Ridiculous.
Frankly, it should have spoken to Apex the fact that Almcall were able to take them to OT on Overpass.
So let's talk about Apex. They were a 1-3 team. They didn't make it through. I think they were probably, seeding wise, they were definitely on the upper half of, like, they were definitely on the teams making it through. I think eye check wise. I didn't have them through, but eye check wise, I said they'll be in a 2-2. They'll be 2-2 match. I think I said they will be a 2-2 match against Mongols, and I just said Mongols should win because I really like the Mongols.
Yeah,
but like they were. I never had thought that they would be a team that would be in an elimination match before the last day.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel like. It felt like Apex was just too good, and while they had lost pieces, they also didn't really lose pieces because they brought Stiko back.
Yeah, and I want to say that this is finally that catching up to them. Just the lack of cohesion that comes with having a five-man core that, you know, was broken up and then brought back prior to this, and then all wishy-washy with Stiko coming in and out. I think that finally bit them in the ass.
He's the new Chris J or Olaf.
So true. We need one of those.
I feel like we always need one of them.
Yeah.
Lin Vision was another 1-3 team.
It's like, good for you, I guess, for not going 0-3, but yeah, I mean, that much to begin with.
I don't have much to say on them because the Asia teams that are not named the Mongols are in a really, really bad place right now.
Uh-huh.
Right. Tai Lu has already switched their lineup 3 times since the RMR.
Have they? Oh, Jesus.
They've switched their lineup they've done at least 2 or 3 roster moves. They have a 10-person lineup right now.
Yeah, I was looking through the HLTV page a month ago. And
it's just the entire rare item lineup, plus the old Tai Lu lineup. It's a mess, man. Like,
it's a funny thing. 10-man lineups are so back. It's, trust me, 2025, it's the new fashion. Do not trust me on that.
But, I mean, Lin Vision performed about as well as I would have expected. And that's saying I've seen Lin Vision in Pro League before, because that has a direct Asia qualifier to it. They have been okay. They were generally not the worst team at the event. You could say, hey, ahead of time, hey, Lin Vision will probably get one map from someone as a just like, hey, they won a map.
Yeah,
that's what they did.
That's
literally what
that's what people should have thought coming into it. That's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
Would they get stomped by Heroic? Yes, absolutely. Did they? Yes, absolutely. Like, would they lose in a domestic match to the Mongols? Yes, absolutely. Did they? Yes, absolutely. Will they get one map off? Yeah, Furia, because fuck your pick'ems. And then, like, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like, that's it. That's the whole bit.
That's what kind of we expect. Good for that, man.
I think let's talk about... This is the most disappointing team, I'd be willing to say.
For you.
for me, which is Ants.
Yeah, I caught it from a mile away.
And so Ants always felt like they were on a Cinderella run, mm-hmm. right through the RMR. They put this team together right beforehand. It's the former nine core. You add Diha, who is a really good performer on Ents, but really, really up and down, right? Like some games he would be the worst player on the team, some games he would be the best player on the team, and the consistency didn't exist.
And we need to talk about him, because now he is consistent and not in a good way.
Yeah. And you add Glaive, who's one of the most storied IGLs of all time, and Cuban, who helped with that original Polish Golden 5 lineup, right? He's the coach mm-hmm. to the whole thing. So you put really good surrounding structure around these nine guys, and they get through to the major. They make it far another. Like, it felt like they were on a good trajectory.
Yeah, especially with Cologne, right? Like,
but I think at the end of the day, you look at Ents and the signs were there ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And it's one sign. The highest ranked player on Ents was Glaive. It has been Glaive. Now, Glaive is not a bad fragging IGL. Famously on Astralis, he was really good at being a fragging IGL.
Certainly.
But if you're the backup on Astralis, the other players on Astralis were Dupree, the best support, one of the best support players of all time in Majisk, one of the best offers of all time in Device.
And the best player in the history of Counter-Strike you'd want to have last alive.
Yeah. And literally the best clutcher ever. Exactly. Right. Yeah, like you go through the list and it's like, he was a pretty good fragging IGL as terms of IGLs go, but he also had four players who were top five at their role by the time that they're done. Right.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of like, it's fairly, you can have sort of, similar sort of conversation. You can have that with Apex when Vitality were good. It's like, it's kind of easy to have a 1KD when you're just getting the last kill in a 4v1 because Zywu got 3 kills and, you know, and Spinks got 1. Like, it's not too hard to be good when your supporting elements are also the best in the world.
I do have to say, though, we see Glaive being good on this team still. So he's obviously not a Glaive thing, right? Like,
No. I don't want to make it clear. Like, Glaive is obviously a very good player.
But it feels like the rest of this team is kind of just like dragging him down to some degree. And you said we have to talk about D-Hop because he just has not looked good. It's like under Snappy, he at least half the time was the best player in the server. Right. And that includes like Nerds and some Pius and Madden were all really good players.
Yeah.
But it feels like D-Hot's never the best player in the server.
It's really off.
Or up there.
He's the lowest rated player of the event so far, I believe.
That's too low for the guy. Well, and I know that sounds like really dumb, but like when you're bringing in Goofy and Kylar to their first like big tier one team, right? You can't expect either of them to like really frag hard. Now, I know they were at the major last year, but still. You're hoping to not need Glaive to be the highest rated player on your team. And Hades is a very solid offer, but I wouldn't say that he's going to be a star of any team the way he was on 9.
Still has the inconsistency issues that dropped him from Ents in the first place.
So when you take all those things into account, you say who needs to perform? Diha needs to perform.
Yeah. And can I want to add this because When Majisk went to Falcons and Vitality were looking for a replacement, and they got Mezzi eventually, in the conversation was Diha for being in those not like those anchorish roles who don't
for Vitality,
not for Vitality, but like people at least in my circle were thinking about it, not like Vitality were thinking about it. I have no clue what they're thinking in their camp.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say we had talked about that a lot, and we went there are three players that can do Majisk roles, and they ended up with one of them.
Oh yeah, sure. No, I thought Mezzi was part of that too. But I thought Diha would have been a good choice just because of his solid impact for traditionally pretty poor anchorish roles, and the fact that he's like dropped off so hard is really unimaginable to me.
And going from this from an outside perspective, I have no insight on like the teams in this case, or like it's got to be something to do with like Snappy and Madden and Sun Pius all leaving and Nerds leaving at the same time. And you go, well, who's left? And it's just DHA. I know DHA had other offers, but obviously he didn't take them. But I think there is some bit of like, you look at it and go, well, shit, everyone else left and I'm the last one standing. And that kind of hurts on a like a mental perspective.
Yeah, I hope he has a strong enough mental that that's not the cause of his concern.
I hope it's not, but...
Yeah. Anyways, I just want to say I called it from a million miles out. I had Ents going 3-0 just in case I was wrong, but I didn't think they would qualify.
Okay. That's an interesting take. That's an interesting take right there.
Because I remember 9 from Paris. I know that I knew that they were Vertigo merchants. They would never be able to play Vertigo in BO1s. They weren't able to. They didn't pick it. Like, come on.
Yeah, but Into the Breach were also Vertigo merchants, and they played it all through the elimination stage.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Okay, teams gave it to him. 9 didn't get to play Vertigo. They lost 2 BO1s, weren't able to play it. They played a BO3 who's against a team who permabanned it, and they got out 0-3. Like,
all right.
I called it from a while ago just because I saw the signs at Cologne. Like, they were very good. Like, in Cologne, I keep saying Cologne. In Katowice, everything looked good. They made playoffs. And things looked nice. But I don't know, the map pool issues always frightened me somewhat. And I think that can kind of bite your ass in BO1s when you're forced to play your fourth best map.
Let's turn our attention to the 2-2 teams, the first of which are not 2-2 teams anymore. Mongols and Legacy is the first 2-2 match. Mongols wiped Legacy, it felt like.
Did they? I was asleep for this game.
West Coast time, brutal for you, man. But like,
yeah.
Mongols felt like they, and I can't say that the scores reflect that. I mean, they kind of do, 13-9, 13-6. But like, it felt like Mongols were in control the entire game, and that was it. It felt like Legacy had finally run out of steam. Right, they had gone down to 2-1 and 2. They beat Apex to get to 2-2. They played this entire like kind of miracle run through the NARMR, and it felt like they got to the point where they just kind of ran out of steam.
And I mean, okay, like
yeah,
I don't have too much to say about it. It's like, I'm sorry, like good for Legacy. Like I'm
no one thought they were gonna make it to the major, much less make it to the very last game to maybe qualify. Like.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sorry that you couldn't get it, but like, okay, like, you can't be that sad at this point.
No.
You got your stickers. You won 2 games. Good for you, man.
Yeah. I mean, you did better than Apex.
Like, thank God you didn't qualify. This gives you 4 more days in Copenhagen to fuck around. You weren't going to make playoffs anyway. So like,
no. But Mongols making it, I think, is a big win for a lot of things, right?
Fuck yes.
I think they gain an RMR slot from this.
They do. There's 3 coming from Asia for sure.
I think that that's one of the most important things that could have come from this major is like gaining another Asia slot for the Shanghai major. Right. I
Mr.
want
Greyhound,
to see...
your time is now. Come back, please.
I know Gen G is like looking at teams that are China based.
Oh, I Shanghai think they already based. Signed one.
Except they may have
it's a bunch of no-namers as far as I know.
How's my favorite roster over at NKT doing? Have you looked at this roster?
I've not, no.
Okay, so the NKT roster for a while was Gratis Faction, Bentet, Exogen, Urkist, and one other guy.
Interesting combination.
They literally taked every player who was the best on their kind of bad Asia RMR team and combine them into one team, and nothing. It's
that's
awesome.
Crazy.
But let's talk about the other 2-2 teams. We're closing in here.
Yeah, wait. Can we talk about Mongols?
Yeah.
I want to talk about them. Just because Yes, I'm so happy they're good. They've been on this cusp for so long of being relevant. You know, they make they go through the play-ins of Katowice and Cologne, but then they get shut out of the main event or something like, or maybe they get one win in the main event. But now finally do something that's actually gives the puts eyeballs on them. That gives a spot for their region. Like, and now this gives them more time on the in the limelight with at least three more matches. Like, yes, thank God.
I'm so in for it, man. I'm so happy they made it through.
I didn't know there was this much depth of talent in Mongolia, but man, am I happy.
Like they change players every like couple of months, mm-hmm. and it doesn't. They never lose a step. They always get better from it, and that's not something you see across teams generally, right? You look at Liquid, who Liquid have been one of the people who have changed a lot of players recently. Mm. They have not gotten better at every step.
Yeah,
like, but it feels like every time Mongols make a change, we say, "Oh, I don't know about this." I mean, I don't know about this guy. He's coming from this other Mongolian team that we don't really know about. But then they play. And they look exactly the same as they did before.
And then
they get
in,
better.
And 2 months in, we're saying, this is the time. This is where they make a final run for it. And finally they did.
And finally they're doing it.
Yes, man. Oh, it makes me so happy for them.
All right. The match that is literally about to finish right now.
It's already about to finish?
It's about to start. Imperial Gamer Legion is going on right now. It is 12 to 5. It looks like Imperial will take their slot.
Oh,
so I guess this is a good time.
Confirmed.
Yeah, this is a good time to talk about America's RMR slots.
May I explain this as
please,
the representative
please. I don't
for the
know
region?
Anything.
Okay, so the way that Valve distributes slots for the next major depends on your results at the previous major. And it depends on how many teams you send to the now newly named elimination stage. So
Terrible stage name.
Terrible name.
Continue on.
Yes. We have, so every region gets a certain default amount of teams. America gets three.
Yeah, three.
Three. Yeah, we get three, Europe gets three, and Asia gets two. So we get three by default. We have Complexity in the elimination stage by default from the RMR. Yesterday, we sent Pain, so that gives us five, which means we keep the amount of slots. We sent five to Copenhagen, by the way. Now, Imperial, fingers crossed, are about to win. That gives us six, which we haven't had for a couple majors. And potentially, with Furia, that could give us seven major slots. And I've been scrolling Liquipedia. I can't find the last time America's had seven teams in a major. I could very well be wrong. My eyesight's poor. That's why I have the glasses. But that would be insane if we had seven for Shanghai.
I'm looking at the feed. It's a 1v3 right now for Imperial. I think they're actually going to win this year.
Fucking go, dude.
So it's a 2-on-1. Henny just planted the bomb. I think this is really cool for Americas, right? Because we get more slots. I think that if we had these slots already, two bits on this, one M80 would have qualified.
That's the kicker.
Right? M80 would have qualified. And two, we get to get rid of our stupid ass 3-2 like Swiss stage system that doesn't matter after
that's
you
it.
Lose two maps.
13,
it's terrible. 13. The Swiss stage system in North America was just atrocious because we only got five teams through. So the 2-2 matches don't ever matter. Terrible.
2-2 matches don't exist.
They don't exist, right? You lose two matches, you're out. Get rid of that. We're back.
We're so back, baby.
The last set of teams, we've alluded to this for quite a bit.
Wait, can we talk about them, though?
Oh, yeah,
let's talk about them. So, Imperial. Vinny IGL, I hated it at first. I still kind of hate it.
I still hate
it's
it.
Working. It's working, so good for them. Henny, thank God he's back in form. After losing a bunch of players, I'm surprised they're so good. No way. Oh, my God. They got this. They picked this kid up from streaming. Apparently he was a streamer and now he's an eliminator. Good for him.
No way in Decenti just have felt like random people they picked up off the street in the best way.
I seriously think No Way was. Like, he was a streamer. He had no professional experience.
The basketball version of this is like you walk to Rucker Park yeah, in New York. And you say, you two guys, you're playing for the Knicks tonight. And they just absolutely clap because they're used to playing, right?
If I remember, the America's RMR was the first land for No Way.
Excellent.
How insane is that, dude?
Well, Copenhagen will be his second land.
Yeah, good for him. Oh, my God. It's wonderful seeing like the original idea of Counter-Strike and why we love it is because five players can come together, be like, hey, we're actually pretty good at this, and they play ESC Open, and they go to, you know, main, intermediate, advanced, whatever, and they get to Challenger League, they go to EPL, they do good stuff, they get signed by an org, all that, right? And it's so cool how we see, at least in, you know, with partner leagues and everything coming in, we see smidges of this coming through with people of individual form and shining like a diamond in the rough can come through. And like with Noe and Decenti here, get picked up, get noticed by these experienced players like Phelps and Vinny, and they get picked up and they put into a team and they immediately perform. It's such a heartwarming tale that we keep seeing year over year, team over team, because that's the love of and magic of Counter-Strike. Anyways. Anyways, Gabriel Legion lost.
Anyway, Gabriel Legion lost. It's brutal. So, okay, on one hand, I hate that Gabriel Legion lost. On the other hand, they shouldn't have been here to begin with. And honestly, for a team that was not planning on being here, they made a really fucking good fight to get through.
So, in editing, can you copy paste what I said about Legacy and then edit when I say Gamer Legion over them? Thank you.
I mean, Gamer Legion literally wasn't supposed to be here. They get told 2 days before. I think it was rumored that they were making changes to this team and had to stop on the making changes bit to go play in the major.
That's true. That's really funny.
I think that's what I heard. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think that's what I heard. Like, this team was not supposed to be here. They make it to the 2-2 bracket. The only bit that I'm like really set, like not happy about and kind of sad about is we don't get to see more Snacks, because I'm loving the Snacks resurgence. He did not play well in the game that just finished. He did not play well, but he almost clutched at the RMR. He almost clutched them straight into the major on Nuke. Like, it's been very fun watching a Snacks that doesn't have to be the guy.
Yeah,
it's been a really good point. Enjoyable.
Yeah, it's nice just to be able to enjoy him for who he is.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, when a bunch of his teammates from the Golden Five are now doing coaching roles,
I mean,
he's still in here. He's still in the
all
server,
of them
man.
Are here. I mean, like, there's four Golden Five members here already. Like, Cuban's coaching
Ents.
Yeah, Cuban's coaching Ents. Neo's coaching FaZe. Taz coaching G2, he's still playing. Bialy is God knows where. Pasha's on his bike to Copenhagen right now.
He's like, gonna come, and Ents is already fucking gone.
No, like, he's already on the way. I saw the thing this morning. He's on the way. But like, you look one and one and one and one is this history story team is everywhere here. Mm-hmm. But you know what story team isn't everywhere here? Astralis. On more.
Got his ass.
On more. Yeah. Saw Furia.
Yeah.
It's about to start. What are the thoughts?
I just want to make a note on Gamer Legion. If they do break up or whatever happens with them, I want to say Snacks, maybe Ents, I'm just saying. And then Glaive to Astralis. I'm kidding. I don't know about that. But everyone knows Snacks to Ents makes so much fucking sense, right?
I hadn't thought about it, but I'm so in.
It makes
the
so
old
much
generation
sense.
Of Polish talent teaching the new generation of
yes.
Polish talent.
It just makes sense.
Like,
and then,
oh,
and then Isaac, maybe on the NIP rebuild. I don't know. Isaac is worthwhile.
No,
he's
no.
Worth
okay.
Into.
Okay. I like Isaac as a player. Okay. I'm so in on it. I would not wish NIP on my worst enemy.
Okay. Okay. for Meti support then when they win every tournament.
Exactly. There we go.
There we go. Okay, yeah, sorry. And
Furious Saw.
Okay.
I don't know what to think about
this.
This
is a game deserving of a 2-2 matchup. Like, this is, I think, a game that should be 2-2, and it is 2-2. I'm very happy about that.
Yeah. I feel like Saw had a good event, right? They beat Koi, they beat Gamer Legion, they lost to Cloud9, they lost to Pain. Other than that Pain match, they have beaten teams that, coming out of the RMR, you feel like they should have beaten. And they have lost to teams that, coming out of the RMR, you feel like they should have lost to. Pain is the one, like, exception to that rule.
But Payne played how they played.
Yeah, they played way better than anyone expected ahead of time, and so like you can't really fault them for that. Yeah. It doesn't feel like Saw have lost like bad matchups or anything across the board.
Yeah.
As per Furia, best of three merchants.
I thought they would get to 2-2. I did not think this is how they would get to 2-2.
It feels like they are clawing at every possible opportunity. It feels like Fallen really wants to get through, right? It K Serato is kind of reminding us how good K Serato is. Cello is performing at like this pace that we haven't seen from him in a while. It feels like the team is starting to figure their shit out. It's just they're figuring their shit out and they're in the 2-2 game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of a bad time to figure it out. But I don't know. I'm really looking forward to seeing this game, because Saw, you know, coming into this tournament with a lot of hype on their backs, with their results at Showdown, and even just throughout 2024. Wasn't it something like they didn't lose a BO3 this year or something like
that? Something like that, man.
Something like that. Anyways, they've only lost BO3 so far, but for this tournament at least. But I'm a sucker for national lineups. I'm happy to see underrepresented regions like Portugal make a stand like this. It would be devastating for our Portuguese writer Gonzalo for Saw to go 2-0 to 2-3.
We also just got a Portuguese writer who on day one said, "I am a huge Saw fan." Just first thing in, and I'm prepared for the meltdown or huge amount of joy. Fortunately, we don't have Brazilian writers on our staff, so if Furia lose, it will just be making fun of Furia.
Yeah, same. We get to make fun of Dust 2 Brazil.
Ooh, that's good. That's a good shout. Yeah. This match is a banger. Everyone will see this tomorrow. So if it was a banger, then you'll know.
And if it wasn't,
then don't worry,
watch
it.
This part out anyway.
Yeah.
We just forgot to talk about them.
Other than that, thank you, Scoopster, for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I love to hear.
No problem. Thank you, Scoopster, for showing up, especially at the very last minute here. That's going to be it for us for this week, though. We are back next week. Hopefully, Elliot has internet, though I'm a little skeptical. We may have a new guest host as well. But until that point, you can find us online at Logan Ramhub, at ScoopsterCS, and at ReedTLDR. We'll see you next week.